Patrick Anderson. He, of course, is with the Anderson Economic Group. Patrick, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Tony?
I'm doing well. You have a good weekend?
I sure did.
What does Patrick Anderson do with his weekends when he's free?
I spent time with my family, and I enjoy that, and I value that greatly.
All right. Well, I saw this question pop up on Fox during our news report last week, and I knew I had to get you on the program. From what I understand, and correct me if I have my information right, but the U.S. debt is going to pass GDP this week. Is that true?
Depending on how you count it, we're darn close to 100%. And I count it expansively because debt is debt. I don't think there's any benefit to saying, well, it's debt, but we owe it to ourselves, so we're not going to pay it, obviously. The AARP and lots of other folks buying commercials want debts to American citizens to be paid, and promises as well. I think we're pretty darn close to 100%, if not right at it this week.
What's that mean?
In terms of the statistic, it is a clear indication that the United States debt burden is in territory that indicates we will have difficulty paying it back with the current tax burdens. In fact, it basically says we cannot pay it back if we continue to follow the fiscal policies that we have now, meaning that we keep tax levels, tax structure about the same, and we also continue to make promises to people in terms of benefits in the same way. 100% GDP debt ratio is basically you are clearly indicating the territory of a debt-strapped nation that, although it doesn't mean you're going to default, it means you are in serious trouble.
Have we ever been in this boat before?
At the end of World War II, we had a debt to GDP ratio, something like that. However, as you recall from history books, I mean, we were attacked on our soil in World War II. We had to fight a war that did involve the survival of the kind of life that we had. And when we were done, we were paying back specific amounts of debts to people who'd lent it to us, including American citizens, but we had not made permanent, extensive, multi-generational promises. So we're actually in much worse shape, I would say, now than we were at the end of World War II.
As we speak, the way things stand right now, are we going to get out of this hole?
Well, as we speak, we do speak, Tony. I mean, it's a free country, right? You hear provocative, interesting, contradictory, idiosyncratic views on your radio show and elsewhere. The great strength of America isn't in the statistics or something like that. The great strength is that the people have the freedom to make changes, including changes in their political system. And I think, ironically, the Greek crisis that's playing itself out now is very instructive to Americans because, I mean, Greece is much worse than the United States, but what put Greece into this problem is a much worse version of the problem that we have. They promised their public sector unions, their retirees, all kinds of folks, incredible pay and benefits. Then they hamstrung their private sector, and then they told their taxpayers that they had to pay a certain amount and basically didn't force them to pay other things, allowed a certain amount of tax evasion. You put that together, and it's much milder in the United States, but nonetheless, that is the main source of our problem here, too.
In a story I saw in Cranes last night, there's a story written by Bill Shea, Global Ills Could Slow Job Growth. Automotive's tie to Europe is a weakening link. And Patrick Anderson is quoted as saying, I think it's near certain that we're going to see a European bank collapse. I believe that we are going to see the default among the European countries. Wow. How's that going to affect us here?
Well, I think you've already seen de facto Greece begin to default. And I thought a lot before I told Bill Shea that. Actually, that prediction that we were going to see a default somewhere in Europe was first given in Grand Rapids about a month ago. You already see Greece and the IMF and the European countries saying, well, maybe we're just going to write down Greek debt in private hands by 50%. In other words, they're starting to default. And that has a very, very negative effect in Europe. I think, as I indicated in the Cranes article, that the United States and the automobile industry here is less vulnerable to Greek debt and a Greek crisis than we would be if, say, that was Germany or Canada or Mexico, which are or Japan, which are countries that we trade with much more often.
All right, final question for you. Is the euro going to collapse, and what's that mean for the U.S. dollar?
Well, I don't think it's so much a risk of the euro collapsing as it is a risk that the European Union cannot hold itself together. And the Greek crisis, and after Iceland, and potentially you have Italy and Portugal and others out there, what they're revealing is that the European Union was, in fact, built on a contradiction that they have never they've never really solved, and that has to do with the fact they have one currency, but every one of these nations runs its own fiscal policy, and they haven't shown they can rein in a country like Greece that basically chronically spends more than they possibly earn and then expects the rest of the European countries to bail them out. And that contradiction, I don't know if they'll solve.
All right. Thanks, Patrick. I appreciate your time.
All right. Good to talk with you today, Tom.